Hello, hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's call in Buddhas and Butterflies. I'm coming at you in the middle of some renovations, so I apologize. This is the cleanest thing I own right now, and in all honesty, it's looking pretty spiffy compared to everything else I've worn this week with fencing. So, as we get into today's session, as always, for not as always, but for this particular round. For the second time is what I meant by as always. I'm going to talk a little bit about transforming anger, and in this particular topic that we're working with in round two, transforming anger into healthy practical action, and pardon me, into healthy movement and momentum. I always think of them in the two, anger and fear, working really, really well together, because as we get movement and momentum, that's often like the most practical step to take. Just to get some energy going. So, this is also why fear and anger are considered to be like the Bobbsey twins, because they, in essence, like there's a really thin line that divides them to an extent at times. Okay. You may have even noticed that in your own experiences. You'll start to get just a little bit scared of something, and then all of a sudden it'll turn into like an anger response or something along those lines. Yeah. Okay, so we were talking about the emotional body and next. So I talked a bit about the physical body. Now, I'm gonna say that the energetics around this particular layer, the emotional body, fit really well with particularly this week about transforming anger. As I'm gonna argue that our particular layer of the emotional body wraps itself around creating all energy in motion, as you may have already heard me posture that multiple times at this point. So, energy in motion, creating momentum, creating movement, creating get up and go. And our emotional body is in part what actually drives the physical activity. So, we talked about the physical body, the next layer around that would be like the emotional body. And it actually gives the physical body the energy that it needs to be animated and to move and to groove. The next layer will be the mental body, will actually give it the layer of intelligence to direct those movements, yeah? And to have them play out in ways that make sense in alignment with our practical actions that we're taking to create movement, momentum, upward mobility. This is about the energy layer that also supports our capacity overall as a species to like build and to, in a way, come together to grow our knowledge base and to build our homes, our fences, or anything else that we're constructing, and to create the capacity to harness this layer well and to use it for how it's meant to be ideally used, which is just as energy fuel for your system. If we have a lot of energy pent up in the fear, anger, grief, or in any of the emotional responses, and we think that they're personal in that way, is what I mean by pent up, then invariably that's going to actually deplete the natural healthy role of any of the emotions. So the emotional body overall is really necessary for our vitality and our sense of well-being. Yeah. Okay. I'm not going to belabor that point too much. I'm going to dive on into our session. And oh, I didn't actually correlate what level of consciousness it talks to, which is my whole point of doing these things. This is tying in with the subconscious realm. It's tying with the subconscious realm. So let's just talk for one more minute about that. And when we work within the subconscious realm, we are working with things that are like just kind of on the edge of somebody's awareness. And it's not so they're like screaming, it's not blaring, it's not loud, it's not beeping necessarily when you're like triggering something that's in somebody's edges of their subconscious. They won't necessarily have a sense of like, that's about this one time when this happened and I remember this. And they won't have necessarily details. Yeah. The emotional body and the subconscious fit together like hand in glove in many ways, as our emotional experiences that are undigested, especially from our early years, begin to accrue in our subconscious. And this dictates how it is we traverse our lives, how it is we embrace the particular patterns that have been in play with us since that we were, excuse me, either born from a nature perspective or conceived, we might say. as well as the capacity of the layers of nurturing on top of that, that will then, play into that all. So the subconscious realm will then in turn dictate how it is you interact with your environment, including your defensive patterns or how it is you organize yourself to stay safe, present, and aware in any particular situation. Okay. Without further ado, as promised, I'm going to invite you to turn your attention to your breath. Every inhale, an opportunity to bring in the new, to connect inspiration, and to come alive. Every exhale, an opportunity to release. To let go, to make space, and every breath, an opportunity to sink a little deeper into that cushion below you. And if any part of that is pleasant, even neutral, taking time to savor that, to drink that in just a little bit deeper and to mindfully be with it in a way that lets you almost like taking it in through a fresh new lens, like you've never experienced it before, with the wonder and the awe that a small little one might have. And then, when you're ready, I'm going to invite you to purposefully take time to locate something in your environment, externally or internally, that feels pleasant to be with. So, the invitation is here to let your senses go for a bit of a walk around that space, externally, internally, however feels right for you. Letting your gaze on anything in particular that's pleasant to be with. Mine might be my new fence. Noticing all the things you like the most about it, whether it's the shape, the color, the size. The way the light, the shadow play with this, or the way that it might create some negative space. And then savoring all that you find pleasant here, savoring all that feels good to be with here. And as you continue to take that in and to savor all that feels good, noticing the response inside the system, what's happening inside of you. And if any part of that is pleasant, even neutral, taking time to savor that. Right along with all that your senses are attuned to. And while you appreciate that, I'm going to invite us to also take in these words. And thank you for the opportunity to gather here with you all today in these ways. And thank you to all that's gone into this sweet moment of connection. Thank you to your families, your ancestors, your lineages, and those that you refer to as chosen family, your villages. Thank you to those that have caretaken and stewarded these very lands that have supported our life, our existence. And thank you to the earth, the air, the fire, and the water that compose us all. And thank you to all that is in existence. that allows for us to perceive, receive, welcome in, magnetically draw in, and offer output back in return, whatever that all is, the mystery of this dance of life. Thank you for the opportunity to explore, to learn, to grow underneath your grace. What a gift. Om Shanti, 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 peace, peace, peace. Blessings on your journey today. So as we start off, running a cellular repair, which helps to restore cells back to their fullest potential of health. And as we do that, we're working with the upper lobes of the lungs primarily. And the lungs do a very poor job of working with the emotion of anger. And there's actually a fair amount of it trapped. It's like adhesing the tissue. There's actually even a bit of, it looks like low-grade microbial imbalance happening. So we're going to run a body chemistry for the upper lobes of the lungs on both sides, supporting the immune system. And it's just a basic one, particularly focusing on microbial balance. And then we're releasing any toxins that have made the tissues. We're going to do a separate body chemistry for that. Releasing any toxins that made the tissues like really sticky and adhesed together. And then we're going to run a hydration all the way around the upper lobes of the lungs, helping them to take in water and joy, releasing impurities from all those points of adhesions, through all those adhesions. And then we're going to circulate all the basic healing resources, including blood that carries our passion, nerve or communication. Lymph and a grain, again, drains those toxins, gunk, waste, low self-esteem, overthinking, overanalyzing. Along with chi or vitality, consciousness or awareness, right down into all the little guys, electrons, protons, solitons, neutrons. Working with the sounds, the colors, the frequencies of all the chakras, major and minor. Endorphins, hormones and endocannabinoids that lower inflammation, lower anxiety and depression, help our nervous system and our immune system alike to heal. And also working with the balance of yin, the feminine essence of nurturing, and the yang, the masculine essence of protection. And we actually have to do a little something I've never seen here before. This is new. Always love when new territory pops up. For that balance of yin to yang, we actually need to run switching to help cope with the stress of trying to either do too much or too little in one of those areas, as well as the confusion around using masculine when we need to be using the feminine or using the feminine when we need to be using the masculine. Just finding a new balance here. And then running one more round of hydration, this time through the entire upper lobe of the lung. Again, taking in water, joy, releasing any impurities that no longer need to be here. And I see this as actually also being informed by that very first breath you took. So the pattern upon which all this, I'm going to say crud, built up upon, began all the way back as, not conception, pardon me, birth. And we're working with that very first breath and feeling quite panicked, rushed, and a sense of like oxygen deprivation in a strong, to the like the word is asphyxiation, that was quite intense to the point of creating not just a little bit of shock, but almost like a momentary shutdown of allowing for the cranial nerves to, there's 12 of them, to feed the brain, as well as the senses, as well as sets the vagal tone. So the vagus nerve, vagal tone, are connected here. That's what vagal tone is referencing, how resilient is your vagus nerve. And the vagus nerve is considered to be the longest wandering nerve in the whole body. It starts in the head, cranial nerve number 10, wanders all the way through the entire length of the entire body. And it's meant to give inputs around relaxation. Now, sometimes it gets a bit mixed up, or it's actually making a clever choice to play dead as a means of looking like we're relaxed. We're actually not, but a means of shutting down, isolating, holding still in a way that can create intense levels of even depression and sadness. And it's usually the type of depression or sadness as well that involves a certain amount of anger. Anger and depression seem to go hand in hand. And forgive me, I've had a very itchy throat. Swallowed a bit of sawdust in the last few days. But as we work with this, the energy here is around supporting supporting the back musculature to actually hold its own tone, to allow for the lungs to be more upright, to allow for greater air quality and air flow in. Is what I'm not really air quality, but air flow quality is what I mean by that. And as we increase the vagal tone, so that's no longer playing dead or taking out of the freeze response, and we're optimizing it so we can actually just have a healthy tone that's also relaxed, releasing any tension through the upper back as well as lower neck to support, again, the area of the upper lobes of the lungs, which hang roughly around the collarbones. And as that happens, running the permission so that it's safe to open up to this life. And related to that, the words are simply, I forgive. I forgive. In essence, forgiving life, whatever layer of that is available right now, releasing the sense of hardship or the sense of, like, life has done me wrong, sense of victimhood. Okay, beautiful. As that all happens, turning your attention to wonder, to awe, to what can be possible. And I invite you to imagine that you can breathe the essences of the consciousness of wonder, awe, what could be possible, imagination and creativity alike, with each breath drawing those energies into the upper lobes of the lungs. I'm going to invite you to be as playful as you can here. You might see some fun images here, dancing through the lobes and the lungs, in particular those upper lobes. Almost as if every breath of wonder, awe, creativity, imagination is saying, bring it on, life. I want more. I want more of the juicy goodness that you have to offer. And the only thing contradicting that message would be those times of like, fuck, this happened, or oh my god, this is happening. Oh, all those times, oh, the heaviness of this. All those dramas, all the times when we have a fair amount of emotional charge or intensity built up, create almost like a break to manifestation of all the beauty, all the joy of what's actually possible or attainable to be taken in this lifetime. Or to be received in this lifetime, better put. So I'm going to invite you in, opening up to, again, that breath, every breath, sipping in, drinking in, gulping in a way that's balanced, regulated, and but maybe, you know, having some fun, being almost like a, you know, like you're breathing in the air and almost like you get to swallow it and chew it a little bit. As you have fun and play with this breath through the upper lobes of the lungs, we're restoring the consciousness of play and releasing the times in which you felt really hurt and criticized for being silly or goofing off or playing when it wasn't allowed to be a time of play. And we're releasing any of those times where you didn't take things seriously enough. Or you were told you weren't taking things seriously enough, I should say. Okay, beautiful. As that happens, I'm We invite you to imagine a scenario right now where you have a bit of a challenge in life. Whether your dog isn't listening to you very well, whether you're having a situation where, you're feeling really pressured for time, or something in between. Maybe there's a challenge with a particular person or group of people, family member, friend. As you focus on that challenge, notice what happens inside of your system. Notice where you feel that in your body. Notice if you can feel your body here. If you can't feel your body, that's symptom number one. If you can feel your body, see where you feel what sensations. Maybe you can locate images. Maybe it's as if there's a color, a sound, a taste, or a smell, or something along those lines happening. There might even be areas of the body where you notice that you're kind of twisted or torqued or leaning in some way. And simply in essence, noticing where it is you are feeling this inside of your body and any sensory observations that go with this particular challenge or a trigger. And then I'm going to invite you to kind of 180 this. And I'm going to invite you to welcome it. All that you're feeling, all that you're present to, just simply welcoming it to be here. If you're feeling yourself get any level of panic or dysregulation happening within that, touching in on that resource that you found earlier and slowing your breath. And as you welcome this, it's as if we're saying, bring it on, life. And as we turn towards life, life in turn gets to turn towards us and offer us those things that we're trying to draw in and we want more of. Things that we're attempting to change, get to lessen, and be left behind. And as you orient your will in this way, sort of a backdoor approach that I took here, releasing those old destructive, oppositional, defiant sort of energies around will that have arisen out of a sense of having boundaries repeatedly disrespected in your early years. And then the only sense of being able to have power was located as a result of that in the sense of saying no and shutting down and refusing and clamping up in our systems and not allowing new energy flow to move through the system. Okay. We're linking this all to two chakras, solar plexus and heart, but both of them have the same sub-chakra, and the sub-chakras are parts of a regular chakra, not often referred to anywhere else other than within body talk. And we're going to sub-chakra number four, which correlates to the properties of the heart, bringing in harmony to solar plexus chakra, which works with digestion, also in a way, boundaries. And then to the heart chakra, working this time with the energy of perfection. Pardon me. Not the right word. Although there is a consciousness of perfection that we're also going to be defragging from here. I missed something. Harmony of connection. There we go. As we restore the capacity to receive healthy connection in a clear way that brings in deep nourishment through your boundaries. It's as if we're reconnecting to all things life in ways that actually work for us and not against us anymore. And one of the biggest ways that we can often say no to life is actually by saying it has to be perfect or I don't want it. And just releasing the consciousness of perfection. Okay. And then there's a question here of like, can I do all this? Can I actually go there within myself? Do I need to? Why bother? And wherever that sense of doubt is being held inside of you, we're going to run lymphatic drainage, clearing out any toxins, gunk, waste, low self-esteem, overthinking, or overanalyzing that are tied into it all. And as that happens, forgive me, I'm just seeing three different things come in and trying to figure out which one I want first. Having a bit of a jam of my brain. As that happens, we actually need to do three things at the same time. Got it. We're releasing adhesions through the kidney one acupuncture one point, which hangs on the bottom of the sole of the foot, connects us to the earth. I'm seeing this as grounding into being able to take in to manifest the energy that we need, the sense of power that we need, the sense of self that we need in particular. And then I'm going into the area just a few inches below the inside of the knee. There's a point, an acupuncture point that intertwines the kidney, the liver, and the spleen meridian. And there's a sense of actually a bit of trepidation, like if I haven't explored my own self, can I offer support to another? And then we're going up to a point about on the inner leg, on the inner upper leg, about halfway. Halfway up between knee and the inside of the groin. And here we're running the permissions that it's safe to know yourself. As you work with all of this, this is the perfect point to actually tie in that question that was being asked, which is around the sense of, in sessions, can we take anybody anywhere we haven't been ourselves? And the answer is typically no. Imagine dropping into Antarctica and being able to give a tour. And we actually can't give that tour because we actually haven't got a map for that tour. And body talk in this particular paradigm of this modality works within that confine of that particular structuring. There are, I want to be really clear, other modalities that the way that they're set up within their paradigm, within their structure of their system, allow for the individual to actually go beyond where you've gone or to tap into gifts and skills. And let's say like you're working with someone who's like really, really psychic and you're not. And those particular skills or whatever it is that they're harnessing, we can actually deepen into and release any particular trauma responses with somatic work when it's well-tuned. And predominantly, I'm referring to the Hakomi method. And somatic experiencing as well would be in here, and IFS as well, Internal Family Systems Theory. And the somatic work, which I do a whole lot of, can tie into the realm of being able to basically support someone in developing and releasing any particular blocks that are in the way without you having done that yourself. However, it will be a lot easier if you have. It'll tend to go a little bit cleaner and clearer if you have done that work. Okay. So I'm going to back off that question now. As we come back to the leg points, we're also going to run hydration through the inner leg. through kidney, through liver, and through spleen meridians. So we're doing this for both sides of the legs. As we do that, I'm seeing it go up, the hydration going up the left leg, and then down the right leg, almost creating like a horseshoe-like pattern. In the middle, I actually see like the words like lucky horseshoe. Take that for what it's worth. Okay. And as we work with that, offer to give yourself a really slow, deep breath here. We're just going to create a bit of expansion. Doing one more of those. Okay, and actually I lied. We're going to do like 10, 12 of those. I just see this as beginning to hyperoxygenate the system. So I'm taking expansive, deeper, slightly deeper breaths. And as you, in essence, overbreathe here, and keeping the breath just the regular breathing through the nose, nothing conscious or connected in this way today, but deepening that breath through the nose, beginning to hyperoxygenate the system to release those old patterns of having to navigate life through asphyxiation or oxygen deprivation that began from that point of birth. As we do that, releasing the rage around not having what you needed to actually do what you wanted to do. Like if you had had all the sufficient circulation of oxygenation, what could you have accomplished in this lifetime? Releasing that off of the back body, around the first two ribs. And I see this as optimizing, in addition to that, some stamina, optimizing a sense of, vitality. Okay, as that happens, staying with the expansive breath for just another 10 or 12. Yeah, I feel like I might be updating more of that big breath stuff happening here over the next few minutes, but as soon as you can stay with it, if you hit a point of lightheadedness, please back off and desist. But if you're open to it, staying with those slightly more expansive breaths, and so it's just like a little bit of lightheadedness that kind of feels good. That's not necessarily a bad thing. It just means you're beginning to enter a different state of consciousness. And Hatha yogis would actually do things like this on purpose to heal themselves. They would enter different states of consciousness or different realms. And with that, often with different feelings. So lightheadedness, if that happens, is actually just helping other things to leave the system that are getting in the way of being able to go to different realms of consciousness with ease. Okay, within this now, as you continue to stay with that breath, we're actually opening up the front of the throat and we're releasing a lot of rage around not being heard and not being understood, and as well as having to repeat yourself. It's both with men and women, but a little bit more with men. Okay, beautiful. And then we're going to work with interestingly enough, the right nostril. As we work with the right nostril, okay, bear with me. Sometimes there's things you're just like, and I'm pretty open to go anywhere, but this one feels like a little bit interesting. It's bringing in the energy of picking one's nose. And the times in which like someone got upset with you or angry about you for doing that. And actually carrying the essence of self-protection. I'm like, I'll pick on myself before anybody else can. I'll pick on myself before anybody else can. Okay, interesting. I never thought we'd go into nose picking and find a consciousness pattern there before, but here we go. First time for everything. Love it. Okay, and then from the left nostril, we're releasing actually similar things, but this time it's tying into a sense of being picked on and like a desire for that to not happen. Okay. So, interestingly enough, we're running a cellular repair for the inside of the nostrils around quote unquote feeling burnt, like feeling burned by life, by other people's words, by insults, by things you didn't want to have to take in ways that made you hold your breath. There's this sense of like sharpness, a sense of like that was kind of startling. Okay. And then we're releasing, for us Canadians, we might be able to release this a bit more, especially out here in the West right now with all the forest fires that are happening. Old toxicity of smoke, whether that be forest fire smoke, whether that be cigarette smoke, or whether that be anything in between. Whether that be like pollutants, like the smoke that comes out of a chimney stack of a home or the stack on like a semi. Okay. As we work with this, bringing in circulation of consciousness, of vitality. The nose is actually considered to be related to your genitals. So, Dr. John Valtime, the Creative Body Talk, his joke was if you always see people itching their nose and scratching their nose a lot, it's like the same thing as like scratching your genitals a lot. And there's something going on there potentially if people have a habitual pattern of doing it. Now, I also happen to have a medical thing, so you probably all see me scratch my nose a whole lot, and I've had about half a dozen surgeries on it. So sometimes there's some other things at play here, beyond just that particular reason, but it's a common enough pattern. Okay. As we work with the nose to genital reciprocal connection, we're actually going to link them together. And then we're helping the nose to reorient to pleasure, to literally smelling opportunities, smelling your way, almost like animals can sense things with their sniffers from a long ways away, particularly things that on an energetic level will bring you pleasure. Okay. Then, at the same time as all of that, we are releasing a whole lot of adhesions through the throats, around the energetic holdings around distrust. And as we release that distrust through the midline, around that throat region, running the permissions here. I get to trust my words now. I get to trust my words now. My word can be trusted now is in here as well. And then we're releasing the belief system that you can never know yourself. Now, there is a certain point where that does become true. But it's not meant to be used as a spiritual bypassing thing. In essence, it's not meant to ever be used as like a, well, you can't ever do that, so don't bother trying. But there is a certain acceptance point that one reaches in this journey that lands you there. We're not talking about that part. We're talking about the tendency and want to just skip over it because, like, can't bother fixing that. And to release that type of an agenda, so to speak. Releasing a habit pattern of sourness or a habit pattern of, like, doubting from a sour place, that can't come together. They'll never stop doing that to me. They're so annoying. This is going to go on forever. Ugh. That type of sourness. And as we release that, we need to do one more emotional release of anger, and this is coming out of the low back. And there's a sense of lack of worthiness, a sense of kind of that same sort of theme of sourness, of things never work out for me. A sense of actually burden is here as well. There's a whole lot of over-responsibility around trying to support other people's sense of well-being or be like a supportive difference for others. To the point where it can enter a little bit of a slippery slope of people pleasing, and then you abandon your own needs. Doing an emotional release of sadness. I stand corrected. Despair, specifically. Releasing that through the kind of in and around that jaw region, I'm going to say, in through the ear canal, all the way back to that mastoid process, and everything in between jaw joint and back of skull, a back side of skull. And this is, in essence, holding the really severe, intense stubbornness of, I won't take that in. You can't make me. Screw you. Put another way, you might have heard that expression when people like set their jaw, they're like, and you they can sense that's like that they'll never change. Almost like that sense of stubbornness in a really strong way. In essence, releasing inflexibility around both being able to take in as well as offer out. Whether it's taking in things that are nourishing or offering out things that are nourishing, taking in somebody else's words, or offering your own as a response. And the frustration here is simply, why don't you hear me? As you release that, releasing layer upon layer upon layer of frustration, which is a form of anger, and irritation, which is another form of anger. And there's a lot of layers. This is like, you know how they can take like those little earth samples going all the way back to, this is what the earth looks like in prehistoric times, and they kind of have this like little core where you see all the strata of the earth. It's kind of like that, and it's going like back to the roots, back to the beginning, back to when you not just began, but your lineage, your family line began, whenever, wherever, however that was. Back to the origin point of your family. And Do one more emotional release of anger. This is the pissed off. This is now working that same area between jaw and back side of skull. And it's working with the various expressions you've offered from a place of pissed offness after not necessarily pausing to actually hear what needs to be taken in and heard. And we're going to tap this part out here. Invitation to breathe to receive. If you're open to it, just taking in a few more of those exaggerated breaths, slow even keeled breaths. And almost like you can feel the inside of your lungs stretching out just a little bit more, your rib cage melting on the other side of it. Running the permissions here of, I don't need to hold that in anymore. I don't need to hold that in anymore. And as it happens, releasing layer after layer after layer once again, multiple layers of frustration. Around why can't I just get it? Like, why can't I just understand it? Why can't I just have that happen? Why can't I just have that go well or be successful? Why can't I? Why can't I? Why can't I? That behavior having a foothold in making yourself wrong or making yourself seem like there's something missing or lacking versus what if this is simply an opportunity to develop something that you haven't done before? Yeah, still need some hard work, still need to do some things about it. And also, what if it's technically possible? The why can't I doesn't necessarily leave a lot of space for possibility, never mind wonder, awe, imagination, creativity. And doing one more emotional release of sadness now. From the diaphragm, regular breathing diaphragm at the base of the rib cage. And here releasing the consciousness slash belief system of, I can't tolerate you any further. And it's signifying those times in which you've reached the end of your rope or your breaking points. And times in which that was actually needed to be happening, that was a good thing to have that intensely build up to a point of disconnection. Here we go, got it. And then releasing any shame around disconnections. Yeah, you're allowed to let go of what's not serving you. And as you release that shame of disconnection, helping to also then further release the grip on hanging on to whatever it is you think you need to hang on to that's creating the pain, the suffering, the challenge that we focused on earlier or in general in your life. Okay. Tapping that in here, staying with your breath, slightly exaggerating it one more time. Okay, then we're heading into the middle of the roof of the mouth and the middle of the lower jaw alike. And there's an energetic gap that's present that, to a degree, is kind of well known in some ways. It's thought that the consumption vessel that comes out the middle of the front line comes to like that lower area, and then the governing wraps around to the upper area. And then the tongue is actually meant to bridge the two. So it's more so the tongue that connects them. This is slightly different. This is not so much the tongue. This is going right through the very center of the lower jaw. I got it. It's working with the jaws feeling unhinged and releasing times in which you went off unhinged. And you went into maybe a bit of a rant or a rage or an expression, or on the extreme opposite of that, a total shutdown. Like, I refuse to say anything about that. And that creating the same element of tension in the system here. Okay, so if you can imagine almost like a barbecue skewer going through the lower jaw up to the upper jaw. And that skewer, if it kept going, would actually tickle the pineal glands, roughly in the center of the crown, or roughly in the center of the head brain, nearish the crown. And it's meant to secrete a certain molecule at the time of birth, as well as they say death, which is that of DMT, which is, hallucinogen, a psychedelic, and it's also a natural thing that your body secretes in its own ways. It's found in the grasslands of, well, in Saskatchewan here, it's found in our grasslands if we knew where to look and how to harvest it, which I don't, but apparently it's like in 60% of our grasslands. That might be in other places in the world too, I just know locally here. And it, the basically, this molecule is meant to connect us to the heavens, to the essence of spirit, to the understanding of God consciousness, to the awareness that we actually are that we seek. And the pokey point of that skewer is just irritating it. The bottom of the pineal gland influencing not just all that I've shared about it thus far, but also interfering with sleep and interfering with the circadian rhythm, the whole wake sleep cycle. And as we begin to release this skewer, we actually need to twist it on the way out. As we do that through the entire skewer pathway, running one more cell repair. I'm still actually putting words to what this is actually all is. And as it comes out, as the skewer comes out, releasing the rigid, diligent need to stay single-pointed or on point, to be in connection with spirit, God, mystery, the beyond, whatever your word is for that all. Yeah, that which is eternal. And letting go of any particular thought patterns around approaching it in the ways that you have that are actually no longer serving you, that are rigid or outdated. And replacing it all with the words of, I get to live that. That, again, being related to the word God, universe, spirit, mystery, the beauty, the eternal. I get to live that. I get to live that. And that might be in 25-ish years almost now, the most powerful permission statements I've ever seen come through. I get to live that. Whatever your word for that is, I get to live that. I get to live that. All being defined by the consciousness of gratitude. And then we're linking it through to both hemispheres of the head brain. And we can imagine that these become, in essence, almost like little lungs that I get to breathe new life into this all. Around getting to live as spirit, as God, as the eternal, as one. And linking that into your higher heart, your prefrontal cortex, your connection to that higher self. And releasing any particular beliefs that your soul's journey, your soul body is somehow a burden. We're tapping this out here. Invitation to breathe and to receive however feels right for you. Breathing here. Giving yourself a slow, deep breath. Letting yourself really rest in the energy of that all. I had a song picked out, but it's long. So I'm gonna pick a shorter one. It's about 2 minutes and 47 seconds. It's called Last Chance from the album of Benu, and I honestly can't remember what it is off the top of my head right now. I just remember adding it to the list of things that I thought might be useful for us to listen to at some point. Okay, invitation to breathe here. Just touching in on that resource that you found earlier, desire. Allowing any natural breath and movement to come through the system. Breathing, moving, receiving. If that turns into a little bit of movement, that becomes dance-like. You have space to move and groove here. Doing that. Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to gather here today in these ways with you. And thank you for you being exactly as you are. So sweet to be here. And thank you once again to the earth, the air, the fire, and the water. Mwah, mwah, mwah. Blessings on your day. Oh, Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. Bye for now, love. Have yourselves a brilliant week, and you're most welcome, y'all. And we'll see you next week. Bye for now, loves. All right, back at you, Erica. You're the best.